melech ha'olam shehakol nehiyeh b'dvarav.
Amen.
We're currently holding Masiyata Dishmaya and Shlomo Melech's Mishlei Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Tes Vav. Continues Shlomo Melech the Chacham Mikol Adam Lev Novon Yikin Adas V'Ozen Chachamim Tevakesh Das. Lev Novon, an understanding heart, Yikna, will acquire knowledge. V'Ozen Chachamim, but the ear of the wise, Tevakesh, will seek out, must seek out, Das, knowledge. So what's the difference? We've explained many times, the Vilna Gaon and others. We have a Chochom and a Novon. Yosef, a Novon, a Chochom kamocho. Wherein lies the difference between a Chochom versus a Novon? A Chochom, the Bechino, the aspect of Chochmah, connotes the sense of accumulated wisdom. Same way you find the Psich, the Necher, Abasi, Chochmah, Begoyim, Tamin. They also have Chochmah. They have wisdom, biology, physics, chemistry. Music, the Zion Chochma Shabolam, that's also classified as Chochma. Those are ideas, morsels of wisdom that you accumulate, that you amass from the outside. You acquire knowledge from everybody. We have the Mishnah in Perkeos, Perdal, Mishnah Aleph. Ben Zoma relates, Ezu Chochma, Lomin Mikol Adam. Someone who learns from everybody. How do we know that? David Melech and Tehillim. Kapitol, Kuf Yutes, and Pasik Tzadi Tes, number 119. And verse 99, we find David Melech telling us, Mikom Alam De Yiskalti. I enhanced and intensified my intellect, Mikom Alam De. I learned from everybody. Writes the Maharal Prag in his Der Chaim and Ovis Pradal and Mishnah Aleph. Ezu Chochem Alomin Mikol Odom. You learn from everybody. That means what? Not only those greater than you, not only those apart from you, even those that might be beneath you, even those beneath you intellectually, you can learn something from everybody. Moshe Feinstein, I used to pay attention when he would go and attend the Sheva Brochas. Here you have the Gol Hador, the Posek Hador, and he would listen attentively as a young chosen would get up and share it with Torah. Maybe, just maybe, you'll hear something. Most likely not the case, because he knew Kol Torah Kula, but maybe he'll hear something new, or maybe a new take, a new perspective. And it's kedai to sit there and listen attentively, because maybe you'll pick up something new. Moral says that's the hadgosha, the emphasis of David HaMelech, mikom olam de yiskalti, from everyone. Anyone who could teach me, David referred to Achitophel as Rebbe, as my Rebbe. Why? Because he taught him two halachas, and that's enough. He learned something, and you can learn something from everybody. We have a Gemara twice in Shas, Makis, Daf Yudam, and Aleph, and Meseches, Tainas, Daf Zainam, and Aleph. I'm a Rebbe. One case it's Rebbe, one case it's Rav Chanino. Harbi Torah Lamotin Lamati Mirabosai. I learned a lot of wisdom from my Rebbe. And may Chavera Yosef, and from my colleagues. And Chavrusas, I learned even more. Umitamida Yosef Mikulam, I learned the most from my disciples. Why? Because they ask me questions. Because they get me to think. Because they inspire. And they ask questions, law by Shalome. And by presenting the questions, they get the Rebbe to prepare and to think things through. We mentioned the story in the past, true story. There was a boy, I will call him Yaakov, and Yaakov was misbehaving in class. He wasn't getting very good grades. And they took him to a therapist, and the therapist said, you know, he has ADHD, whatever, all different types of labels. He's got to take some medication. They put him on Ritalin and things like that. And the melder says to Yaakov, after meeting with the therapist, I'm going to give you these two tablets, and I want you to make sure to take them with breakfast when you eat breakfast in yeshiva. I want you to make sure to take them every day. So she gives the pills to her Yaakov, and all of a sudden a week goes by, and no complaints from anyone, from the Rebbe, and he's behaving. What a model boy. They get the first report card, and it comes back, and it's all olives. All of a sudden he's a changed kid. Comes to the PTAs, unbelievable, raving reviews. Everything is going great. Finally, it comes the day, and the parents turn to Yaakov and say, Yaakov, you've been so good with taking your medication. We want to go out and take you out to dinner as a treat for taking your medication all these weeks. Says, well, Mom, I'm telling you the truth. I wasn't taking the medication. What do you mean you weren't taking the medication? Says, yeah, I'd go into the class every morning, and my Rebbe would make a cup of coffee, so I'd sneak the two tablets, and I'd put it into my Rebbe's coffee every single morning. And my Rebbe's been a different person ever since. That's been a different shear, and now he's behaving. We don't know where it's coming from all the time. Is it the boy? Is it maybe the Rebbe's not always in the best mood? But in the end of the day, You never know where you can learn something. And we learn from everybody. Everyone has something to share. And that's Ezu Chacham Alomi Mikolodim. So again, what's the choice wording of Ben Zoma in Perkei Avos and Dalet Aleph? Ezu Chacham, that's not a Novan, that's a Chacham, because a Chacham is someone who by definition acquires wisdom from the outside. And as the Maral says, everybody has something to offer. V'sein Chakein V'sor Secha writes the Beis HaLevi, writes the Rami Pan, and we conclude our Shmon Esrei daily. We ask Hashem, V'sein Chakeinu V'sor Secha, everybody has his or her own Chalik in Torah. Same in Yisrael, as Rosh Hashanah, an acronym, Yeshi Shemriba Osios the Torah. A Sefer Torah that's missing one letter is a Sefer Torah that's possible. When it comes to writing a Sefer Torah, people might pay more to get the Shira, Az Yoshir, maybe the Aseres Adibros, Luchas Rishon, Luchas Shnias. Any little letter that's missing anywhere in the Torah makes it a Sefer Torah Posel. No Aleph, no Beis, no one single letter is more important than any other letter. That's a Sefer Torah Kosher, that's Yisrael, Yeshish, Shemriba, Osteos, the Torah. Everybody has a value, everyone has a Chelek in Torah. That's why we need every single person's contribution. Everyone has something to offer. If you don't tap into your own Chelek in Torah, now that doesn't mean necessarily you're learning. It means that's something you're meant to contribute to Klai Yisrael, to the Metzias of enhancing the Shorish Nishmas. Knesset Yisrael, everyone has his or her own job, his or her own unique tafkid. That's your contributing letter to the ultimate Torah that Hashem, Messiah, Chakin, Messiah, Secha, that Hashem will one day write, that will consolidate, that will put together. Everyone has a Chelek in Torah. We need every single member of Klai Yisrael in order to have all the pieces of the puzzle. Mameila, Messiah, Chakin, Messiah, Secha, we ask Hashem, my Chelek should be in that ultimate Torah. Everybody has a Chelek. We want to tap into our own Chelek. So, you have to learn from everybody. Because every person, no matter background, age, gender, everyone has something to offer. That's a lomi mikaladim, and that's a chacham, and that's why we can have chacham and begoyim. Because you can go to school, you can go to graduate school, you can pursue a degree, and you can acquire wisdom. Sacred wisdom is also called wisdom. Well, what's unique about Navon? Navon is milashin bina, understanding. That means what? That I took the information that I absorbed from the outside, from external means, external sources, and now I brought it into my heart, and I chewed it over, and I digested it, and I made it part of my understanding that's Bina always associated with, Bina Salev. That's why it's a Lev Maven. We don't say a Rosh, that's Rosh Navon. Even though Secha, Chochma, is intertwined with the head, what is this Lev Navon? Why? Because it means someone who already acquired wisdom. Now he's on the second level. He's gone to the second tier. Second tier says, you got the wisdom, now chew it over, digest it, use it, and make it part and parcel of every fiber of your being. Let it sink and penetrate into the inner chambers and recesses of your heart. That's a Lev Navon. That type of person, Yikin Adas, can go ahead and acquire Das. Writes the Perish Cheva Nachalo. What's the idea of acquiring? When you go to the store to buy a dress, you have the money, you have the credit card. What are you doing? You're going to pick whatever you want. When you talk about Yikne, writes the Cheva Nachla, you're going to acquire, you're going to buy something. So you decide what you want to buy. The decision is yours, meaning what? You're a Lev Navon. You already have the Chochmah. You weren't dependent on other people now to provide you with Chochmah. We're talking about a person who's at a stage. You already have the wisdom. What do you want to do now? You want to get to the heightened sense of Das. This Chochmah being in Das. Chochmah is the starting point. That's acquiring the wisdom from the outside, from external means. Bina is, I'm going to chew it over. I'm going to digest it. Let it sink into my bones, into my Lev and Nefesh. And then I'm going to bring it all together. I'm going to know how to use it, how to apply it. And that's Das. That's Das, the Maral says, which is Chibur. That is the heightened sense of you can have wisdom, you can have pieces of information. Then you can chew it over, digest it, be maven, dover, mitov, dover. You can know how to extrapolate, how to build. That's Bino, Lushan Ben, Lushan Binyan. You could build from one thing to the next. You can build building blocks. At the end of the day, if you just have information, what are you going to do with it? Das is the practical application. Notice Rafunder points out, Das, Dalit, I, and Self, Osios, comprised of the identical letters as the word Eidos. Eidos is testimony. You want to give testimony in a court of law? Well, there are going to be Derishas and Chakiras in a Beis Din. They're going to ask you several series of questions. And in order for your testimony to withstand all the interrogation and all the queries that are presented your way, you have to really know the information well. You could be the witness to the scene of a crime. And then they start asking, well, what was this person wearing? How tall was he or she? What were they holding in their right hand? You really had to scrutinize the event closely in order to be able to answer all the questions properly. That's the idea of das. You can have all the wisdom in the world. The question is, what do you do with it? You can have a person, I remember discussing with a certain Talmud Chacham, I had heard of a non-religious Jew who had a photographic memory, and he memorized Shas Bavli. So I asked this Talmud Chacham, I said, he memorized Shas Bavli, he knew 2711 folio pages of Shas by heart. This Talmud Chacham said, yes, and this person was a heretic. Mamish, he used his photographic memory to memorize Shas that he was teaching in the university, and he was anti or observant Judaism. And this Talmud Chacham said, yes, he's an Amma Oretz in Gan Shas. I'm meaning what? He has the information. That's all he has. He memorized the Babylonian Talmud. Like, he memorized the books. Very good. He doesn't know what to do with the information. He doesn't know how to apply it. He's an Amoritz and all of Shas. You can memorize a book. The question is, what do you do with it? What do you do with the information? That's the key. Anyone who ever read Joshua Foer's Moonwalking with Einstein, he was a journalist, and he went and covered one of the articles that he wrote was to cover the annual memory. There's a memory finals that took place in New York, and people who would memorize phone books, who would memorize hundreds of playing cards, and he was fascinated by these people that had amazing memories. And then he went to England and he went to study the techniques, and he realized that really anyone could do it. A lot of these people didn't necessarily have photographic memories. There are means of techniques and means of association. You can read about it at length in George Lucas and Harry Lorraine's The Memory Book. And you can employ these techniques and you can remember things. So in the end of the day, big deal. You can have a person who memorizes a phone book. What are you going to do with memorizing a phone book? So you know what? Yes, before the days of maybe now, you know, with cell phones, you have thousands of numbers in your iPhone. I have thousands of numbers in your phone. That's all you need. How about people used to memorize? What are you going to do with it? That's just information. That is merely chokhma. Das is, now I have means of using it and applying it, of giving aedus on it. That means not only did I made it a part of my system, I was a lev novan, I had an understanding heart, but yignanas, now I could take the wisdom that's been made part and parcel of every fiber of my being, and now that I'm a baal chokhma, and it's a part of me, I could go on now and acquire das and decide, what do I want to buy in the store? Where do I want to apply my das? What do I want to connect to? That's das chibor. Do I want to now connect and use my biology to understand the neflos abore in the anatomy of a human being? Do I want to use my chokhma that now is a part of me that I digested, that I chewed over, and now I want to go ahead and acquire trigonometry and algebra and to know how to understand dimensions of a sukkah discussed in a fascinating discussion using pi and Pythagorean theorem at sukkah daf ches amud beis? You now have das, which is chibur. You have the option to go out and acquire and decide what you want to know. Now that's the idea of Leif Novon Yikin Adas. Once you got to that stage of a truly understanding heart, you could go out and decide how you want to acquire knowledge, what knowledge you want to acquire, how you want to use it, what you want to connect to, and you're now at the stage of Das that you can go and be Mechaber yourself to that topic of interest of your choice. The Ozen Chachamim, but the lower Madrega, the Mefarshim explain, where you're a Chacham, you're not yet a Novon. What do you need? Ozen Chacham, you have to tilt your ear, you have to go in and open up your ears to listen and acquire wisdom from the outside. That's Ozen Chachamim, Tevakesh Das, has to seek out the Das. It's not yet a part of you. So how do you get there? Ozen Chacham, always keep your ears open, always listen, because you never know, Mikom Olam Deyaskalti, you can get wisdom, but it's not enough to just have your ears. What do you have to do with the open ears? Tevakesh das, you have to seek out the das. Now we pointed out in the past, we have different terminologies of seeking something out. We have David HaMelech telling us, Acha Sha'alti Me'is Hashem, O Savakesh and Tehillim Achav Zayin, we said it in the David Hashem Ori V'Yashi, Acha Sha'alti Me'is Hashem, one request I have from God. There's one thing I want from God, but then Osavakesh, that's what I really want. So of course the commentaries are all perturbed, all disturbed. What's going on over here? Achashatim Hashem Osavakesh is a Sha'ila. It is about Kosher. Moshe Shmuel Shapiro explains in his Sefer Zov Mishma that of course it's not repetitive. Why? Achashati means I have a request. Notice how in the terminology of Chazal we call a borrower one of the Dalet Shomrim. We have a Shomer Chinam, a Shomer Socher, a Socher, and a Shoel. A Shoel is a borrower, someone who wants to borrow something. What does it mean if you want to borrow someone's dress, someone's gown? That means you either don't have enough money or you don't really want it badly enough that it's kedai, that it's worthwhile to go out to the store and buy it and spend all that money. So what do? You borrow it. It's much easier. You need to go to a wedding. You borrow a gown for one night. Why spend all that money? So you borrow it. That means you want it, but you don't really, if you wanted it so badly and you were going to covet it and you were going to wear it many times, you go out to the store and you buy it. You at least buy a copy of the designer gown. If you want it, there are ways to do it. Terrence says, what? You want it, but you just want it for one night, so you borrow it. That means you want something, but you don't want it with every ounce of your being. But about kasha is, what does David write regarding shalom? He says, bakesh shalom v'rafeyu. Aaron HaKohen and Ovis, Parakal Mishnah Yerbeis, Hillel says, Hevi mitamid of shal Aaron, Oy of shalom rodei shalom. Two separate madrigas. One level is you can love peace. Second level is rodei if you can run after. When do you run after something? When your life is dependent on it, when you value its importance, its consequence to the extent, it's not enough to just sit back on the sidelines and say, yeah, I love peace, peace is great. What are you doing about it? Rodei shalom, you're running after it. What do you run after? You run after something where your rotzon is, right? So, Volvo, you know why we call the word your will your rotzon? Because your rots, you always run in the direction of your rotzon. If you want something, you don't walk after it, you run after it. When you're looking forward to something, you're running towards it. That's rots lashon. Rotson. That's Rodev. Rodev is, I'm running after it. I'm chasing after it because I want it so badly. Bakei Shalom Bikush is a much more forceful, much more emphatic tone that connotes the sense, my life Kiva was dependent on it. I want it more than anything else in the world. Bakei Shalom, I want to seek it out. Virat Feo, I want to run after it. That's the Gilei Milsa that says how much I really want to pursue it. So too, David HaMelech. Ach HaShalti Meis Hashem. Hashem, I have a Sheila. I have a request, but Hashem, by me, it's not just a request. Oh, so that Sheila by me is about kosher. By other people, it might be a Sheila. Yes, you know what? Hashem, I'd love to sit in the base finish. I'd love to learn Torah. How many people really want it? David says, Oh, Savakesh. Bikush, you hear it already in the tone of the word. Sheila, have a question. Do I get an answer? Maybe yes, maybe not. Bikush says, I demand it. I pursue it. I run after it with all my faculties, with all my emotions. Bakei Sholom Rafeu. Osa Bakei Shifti Beishem Kol Yimei. I want to sit in the basement. David Mel says, Ad Kerekach, to the extent that David says about himself, Ragalei Malicha Sosi. Meaning what? He worked on imbuing and ingraining that desire to sit in the basement so much into his body, into his lev and efesh, that his body instinctively would go and run in the direction of mitzvahs. That's how much he trained his body. He became one and one with the Ratzon Hashem. That he said, even if he would get up in the morning and he would start going to someplace else, start going to take care of A, B, and C, the idea is, Rav Volbe explains in Al Eshar, Raglai Malicha Sosi means what? My legs take on an identity of their own, even without me sending that signal from the brain saying, legs, take me, carry me to the Beis Medrash. He loved Torah so much that it already sank into his lave, guf, and nefesh to the point that his legs started taking him instinctively to the Beis Medrash. The Sfas Emes. Chiddush Shearim explained, Avraham Avinu, the famous question. We know that Avraham Avinu kept the whole Torah before it was given. If he kept the whole Torah before it was given, we find from Kedushin 82a, and in Maseches Yuma, the bottom of 28b, that he kept the whole Torah before it was given, all 613 mitzvahs. So many mafarshim, I have a list of over 100 answers. 100 svarim answers. Why did Avraham Avinu give himself a bris milah? Why didn't he give himself a bris milah? It's one of the tithing mitzvahs. Not only is it one of the tithing mitzvahs, but one of the reasons the commentaries say why it's called bris. Bris is Bay's ratio tough, Gematria 612, because this mitzvah is equal to all the other 612. So bris milah, why didn't he give himself a bris milah before he was commanded? Many different answers. But the Chiddush Shearim Sasema say, because Avraham Avinu loved Hashem so much and he loved the mitzvahs, he's not going to wait for Maimon or Sinai. He's not going to wait for Hashem to give the Torah as we stood at the base at the Piedmont of Sinai. He wants to do all the mitzvahs right here, right now. And he worked on the love of Hashem Yisbarach so much and loving his mitzvahs so much that like David HaMelech, if David got to the Madrega, Kava Chomer, Avraham Avinu who preceded him, certainly got to the Madrega where his mitzvahs were so connected to every part of his body, they would start running out even without him cognitively thinking, I have to do this. So think about it. How do you understand the beginning of Parsha Vayera? This past week's Parsha. It's 100 plus degrees outside. Yeah, Phoenix, Arizona, in the summertime, 120 degree temperature. This is Hotzi Chama Min HaTikva. That means Hashem made it especially hot. That means take your hottest days, 120, 130, 140 degrees. It's the hottest day of the year, hottest day they ever knew, because the only day in the Chazal until this point in time that we find the Medrash telling us clearly, Hashem is Hotzi Chama Min HaTikva, took the sun out of its protective layers, its protective casing, and now you're talking about well into the hundreds. And it's in the middle of a desert. So you're talking about in the Sahara Desert. Think about a desert. And a desert in 120, 130, 140 degrees. It's the third day of his bris milah. He's in intense pain. And all he wants to do is what? He wants to do achnasas orchid. What's going on over here? I said, what? Sit inside your air-conditioned tent. If not air-conditioned, sit inside your tent. Have your servants fan you. Have some iced tea. Have some lemonade with ice. Do something. Sitting outside, that means what? He's sitting outside. Not only that, this is unbelievable. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein writes in the Sefer Tuchei Yabiyu, he says, look at the rotzon that he had for Achnas Sarach. If you look at the Medrash says that before he had the guest, he sends Eliezer out. That means it's the third day of his bris milah. He's sitting outside his tent, it's burning hot outside, and he goes outside the tent. That means what? Now, if there's really a guest who needs you, and he's walking through the desert, he'll knock on the door of the tent, he'll open up inside and say, is anybody home? Can I get a cold drink? So Avraham Avinu doesn't wait inside the cooler air-conditioned tent. Instead, what does he do? He goes outside. So he's sitting outside in the sun. He's in intense pain. And the Medrash says he sends Eliezer. Meaning what? He's outside. And he doesn't see anyone. Now, there are no obstacles, right? You could see everything. You could see for miles. There are no guests. You know, I'm going to go out, you know, check every half hour maybe. Every half hour. If you don't see anyone in the desert for miles away, you know, come and take breaks. Every 2 minutes, go out and look. What do you have to sit outside for? The Midrash says he sent Eliezer, I want you to go out, and I want you to travel to Bedavka, find me guests. Eliezer comes back hours later and says, I didn't find a single guest. And you know what Avram says? Oh, you would think, right? Okay, great, look, Hashem, I did my ishtalos, now let me go in and relax. The Midrash says, Les hanusa be'avodim, there's no emuna in avodim. Eliezer did not do his job. I said, what do you want from Eliezer? It's the middle of the desert. How many people do you think anyway are going to be outside? Anyone who needs anything, they're not going to walk in the desert. If it's 150 degrees outside, you're not walking in the desert to see. Maybe you're going to just sit where you are, take your canteen, whatever it is. Eliezer goes away. He doesn't find. You know why? The Medrash says, because he didn't look hard enough. Because he didn't have that shtarka rotzon. Writes of Zilberstein, when he was learning in Beis Yisrael, in a poor section of Yerushalayim in the time of the Second World War. So everything was very scarce. You couldn't get a lot of things in Yerushalayim or HaKodesh. There wasn't much money at all. And the Rebbe was teaching the Cheder boys Masechah Shabbos. So there were no Gemaras. It wasn't like today. And this goes back to the 1940s, Yerushalayim or HaKodesh. So the Rebbe, there was one Shas in that Shchunah. One Shas, the Rav had a complete set of Shas, nobody else had a Shas. But here the Rebbe was teaching Gemara Shabbos. He says, everyone, look, I don't have Gemaras for you. The yeshiva, the cheder doesn't have. Everyone has to go out and you have to find your own Gemara. So, everyone goes out and everyone comes back. Rebbe, we looked, we can't get a Gemara. One boy found a Gemara. And Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein says, nobody knows where he found it. Nobody knows how he found it. Out of every boy in the cheder, nobody found the Gemara Shabbos except for this boy. Zilberstein said, the Rebbe said about him, Osid Leo's Golden Yisrael, and Zilberstein doesn't name him, but he said he became one of the greatest teachers of Torah and Yerushalayim HaKodesh. Why? How do you know that? The boy's 8 years old. How do you know that? Because if he found the Gemara, he knew that if there's a will, there's a way. Ein davar omid fnei haratzon. If you want the Gemara badly enough, you're going to find it. And that's what he did, and he went out and he found it. If you really want it badly enough, there's a story of the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish used to be asked to go to yeshivas and to test all the boys in the cheder in the yeshivas. So one time he was brought to a yeshiva in Ebrach, and of course after the Gol Ador, the Chazon Ish of Avraham Yishai Karelitz would test all the boys. They would line up to get brachas from the Gol Ador. So he went to a yeshiva once, 200 bachrim, and these young boys are lining up, and they're all getting a bracha from the Gol Ador, the Chazon Ish. And meanwhile, don't think you could pull a fast one in the Chazon Ish. Everybody walked around, and then there was one boy who came around the second time. And now, you can't pull a fast one in the Chazon Ish. He doesn't forget anything. And he's not going to forget a face. And this boy came around a second time, and the Chazon Ish smiled, and he looked at the boy and he says, you were here already for a bracha. And he says, Rebbe, Chazon Ish, he says, I know. But how often do I have a chance to get a bracha from the Chazon Ish? And if I could get two brachas in one day from the Chazon Ish, and that Chazon Ish said, somebody like that, you're going to be something big one day. Someone who goes online and he says, I want a second bracha, and that type of person is going to be a big person one day, because that's how badly he wants that bracha. He knows what a bracha is from the Chazon Ish. Avraham Avinu was convinced, if you want to do the mitzvah Chanasas Archeb, I don't care that Eliezer searched. You know what? He didn't search hard enough. And that's what Hashem saw in Avraham Avinu. If you have such a rotzim to do Achnosis Archim, what am I going to do? I'm going to send you guests, even if it means Hashem sending malachim who take on the facade, the appearance of human beings. I'm going to do that because ain't done with a rotzim. You will never go without a rotzim. In fact, I saw in a sefer years ago that if you ever harm someone in any way, shape, or form, and you feel the need, you have to ask mechila. So I saw in a sefer years ago that Hashem will give you siyata d'shmaya. If you really want to get forgiveness, sometimes it could be the person moved 7,000 miles away. It could be the person Hashem will give you the opportunity somehow. You will meet in order to go in and get forgiveness. If you really want it badly enough, you have to believe ein dover home if nei rotzen, or the Zohar says in Parshas Truma, hakol tzluyin bravos, everything comes down to rotzen. If you want it, for rotzen, you have to be willing to run after it. You'll see it'll come. Avraham Avinu runs after achnosis orchid, it's going to come his way. So the question then is, Avraham Avinu, so why didn't he give himself a bris milah? If he loves the mitzvah so much, why did he give himself a bris milah? So the Sfas Emma says, you know why? Because he felt that if I'm supposed to get a bris milah, then my body will tell me that I need to get a bris milah. Because he was so connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his body would tell him, you got to do a mitzvah with me. And he didn't feel the need to do. He says, it must be that I have to wait until I'm commanded. And part of the idea is, of course you have to wait until you come in, because what's a bris? A bris is a covenant between two sides. It's not something you could do on your own. A bris by definition means a krisis, a bris. You only can enter a bris between you and some other person. So you can't do it on your own. You have to wait until Hashem brings you into the bris, and Hashem gives you the tzivoy, only then can you fulfill bris mila. And that's why he didn't feel it in his bones. That's the madrega. Osan chalom tevakesh das. A chacham, what does he do? You tilt your ear and you seek out knowledge. So you're not on the level of a novan who already has it inside, but you seek it out, and that's the famous vart of the Maharal Prague's brother. In the beginning of his Sefer HaChayim, notice in Shas, we don't call a person a chacham. It's no chacham. What do we call a sage? A Talmud chacham. Why? Because you want to be a chacham, there's only one way. You always have to make yourself a Talmud. First and foremost, you want to be a chacham, you got to be a Talmud. Who's the Talmud? Become a lamda yiskalti, you're a Talmud to everybody. You learn from everyone, you're always looking for wisdom, you're always paying attention, you're always taking notes, you're always looking at articles, at signs, or anything that you can pick up a piece of wisdom here and there, and that's how you acquire wisdom. You got to be the Talmud first and foremost, and then you can be the chacham. So that's Leiv Navon Yikin Adas. Ozen Chachamim, Chacham tilts his Ozen, Tavakes Das, and he seeks out the Das. And writes the Mitzudas David, here in Pasuk Tazvav, Mei Sheyesh Lo Leif Novan, Hinei Mei Atzmu Yikin Adas Bebinas Aleif. Through his own understanding, he could go ahead and acquire Das, Aval Chachamim Sheim Biyodam Elamash Hashem, all they have is what they heard from outside sources, Hinei Ozen Tavakes Shetavsor Achar Das, the Shmo Mizulas, to hear more Torah from other people, Kein Lehem Bino Lahavim Ma'atz, and they don't have the level of understanding to understand and comprehend on their own. They have to tilt their ears to acquire the wisdom, but the Navon has it internally, and it's the same idea of Avraham Avinu. Where did he get the wisdom from? He didn't really have the books. Where did he get it from? If you are holding by the Madrega, you can get it from your insides, the way he analyzed the world. Medrash says that his kliyos, his kidneys, taught him chokhma. He analyzed the guf, the anatomy. He analyzed the blueprint of creation, and he worked backwards. The same way the Zohar and the Medrash Rabbah tell us that Hashem was istakel be'araisa barama. He looked into the Torah, created the world. How did Avraham know the mitzvahs in the Torah? Because he examined the world and he worked backwards. He looked at the world and he figured out what Hashem's rotzen is in the world, what we need to perfect and refine, and that's how he knew which mitzvahs he was incumbent upon him to keep. Matanodim Yarchiv, though, writes the Miri. This is a Hemshech, a continuation of Pasuk Tezvav. Matan Adam, what about gifts? What about charity? Tzedakah? What about the monetary gifts? Even if you don't have wisdom, obviously we're working down Madrigas now. The higher level is Lev Navo. If you're not a Navon, at least you could be a Chacham. All you got to do is keep your ears open and always go out to search to acquire more and more information. And let's say you don't have that Chacham, you could still accomplish in life with what? With Matan Adam. You could give gifts of monetary value, Yarchav Lo, and that will broaden your access. What access will that broaden? Writes the Vilna Gaon. And by giving tzedakah to aniyim, ma shodem yitein tzedakah le'aniyim. If you give charity to the poor, as a kodesh baruch hu nosin lo parnasos v'chava, Hashem will give you all that you need. V'chava aser b'shvil setit asher, Hashem will give you all that you need, but more than that, v'lefnei gedolim yanchenu, it will lead you in front of great people. What does that mean? It means that you will go ahead and support Talmidei Chachamim and Rosh Yeshivas, and they will go ahead and direct you, and they will go ahead and help increase your schar in the next world, but not just Stavazoi, political leaders and people that might help you out in this world, but Talmidei Chachamim who will help you out in the next world. And that's why Gedolim encompasses both people great in the Olam HaGashmi, politicians and leaders here in this world, but also Balei Chachma, Yanchenu, they will direct you, these will help direct you in Olam Hazeh, and these will help direct you in Olam Haba. I write Rabbeinu Yonah differently than the Vilna Gaon. Matam Adam Yarchiv Lo, I write Rabbeinu Yonah as follows. What's Yarchiv Lo? What will it expand? Yarchiv Lo will broaden and expand your social network. Yarbo Lo Ovim, people are going to love you. Why? The more friends you have, not on Facebook, we're talking about real friends here. The more real friends you have, that will increase your shalom and your sense of shlemus and completion. And it will help erase your sadness and your worry. Always having a friend to speak to, to go out to a yogurt for a cup of coffee. And the end of the day, always someone to speak to. The more people that you have a true and lasting friendship with, that will broaden one mind, which means one kid gives. Rabbi Naftali Amsterdam says, let's say you have someone with whom you don't get along. You know the ticket. He writes in the Sefer Ora Musar. He says, go out and take the person out for a meal. Buy the person a present. Someone that you don't like. And you'll see, same Rabbi Dessler says, Avas Miloshen Hav Lacherim, give to others. It doesn't just mean that those whom you love, you Mamela give to. If you want someone to love you back, Kamayin Apanim Lapanim, Kein Lev Adam Nadam, Shlomo Melech says in the pages of Mishlei, that the love is the lev, the way you look in the water shows your reflection. The way you smile to another, you get another person to smile back. If you show love and affection towards another and you buy the person gifts, you'll see gradually it'll be very difficult for them to dislike it. And Rabbi Tolley Amsterdam, one of Rabbi Yisrael Slantis Taminim, he writes that in our Musar, and I can tell you, it wasn't too long ago, somebody in the shul here was in a machlokas with somebody else, and I told him, look, I said, this isn't my advice, this is from the Balei Musar, it's already from Shlomo Melech, and they went out and they got the, I said, find out what that person likes. Find out the favorite sefer, the favorite book, and go out and just get it nicely wrapped, write a nice letter with a nice card, and Baruch Hashem, they made up, how could you say no? How do you say no? You just got your favorite book, your favorite. It's very hard to dislike a person when you just got the gift. So, if you want to go ahead and be marbe, you're ovim, go ahead and give them gifts, give them things that they like. Matanodim yarchiv lo, v'lefnei gedolim yanchenu, which means there are two ways to be in proximity to gedolim, to great people. One is to learn from them, to be an ozen chachamim, tabakesh das. You always want to learn from them, you're going to run after them. Well, let's say you don't have an interest in chachma. Let's say you have nothing to talk to them about. I remember I go to people and you see sometimes in a chasana, and you'd see Gedolei Yisrael, and you'd see people who have access to the gedolim and they don't talk to them. He said, what do you want me to talk to them about? And they don't know what to ask. They don't want to look silly. But you know what you can do? You can always go over and say to the Rosh Yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva, can I give a check to the yeshiva? Can I give some? I guarantee you, they'll engage you in conversation. And that's all. In the end of the day, there's still always some way that's Matan Adam. If you don't have the ability to converse with them in Chokhmah, and then give them some, not because they need it, give it to the yeshiva, to the kolo, to the shul. In the end of the day, that's another way to connect to them, by connecting, by giving monetarily. The Mefarshim explain, as the Gra told us, Yanchenu, is you will yarshin, you will inherit, not just this world,
but you will be amongst the Gedolim in the next world. And that's brought by Midrashi Chazal, and it's talked about by Gedolei HaRishonim, that anytime you're in a Yisachar Zvulun relationship, anytime you're supporting Tamin Chum and learning, and the Medrash Tanchum and Pashtarei actually says, Matanodim, we're talking specifically about giving tzedakah to advance the level of Chachma, and that's why it's on the heels of the preceding verse 15, which spoke about wisdom. Matanodim doesn't stop mean you're giving candy and gift cards, it means matanodim, you're giving to people who value Chachma. That will be marchiv your own Chachma, and you will sit amongst the Gedolim in front of the Gedolim in Olam Haba. Irving Buter, and his son Amos Buter writes this in the biographical work, A Fire in His Soul. So we know that Irving Buter, he happens to be that. He was a well-learned person as well. He gave us a 3-volume work, Ethics from Sinai and Pirkei Avos, fantastic set of Sfarim and Pirkei Avos. See, he was a well-learned person, but, again, he wasn't one of the Gedolei Hador, and he was very close to Rabbi Aaron Kotler when he started out Lakewood. He was one of the biggest philanthropists, and one of the biggest donors to the Lakewood Yeshiva. So one dinner, he's sitting next to Rabbi Aaron on the dais, and he turns to Rabbi Aaron, and he says, you know, Rabbi Aaron, he says, you're the Gedolei Hador, he says, I'm going to be sitting right next to you in Olam Haba, because I'm supporting the Yeshiva. And Chazal tell us, if you support the Yeshiva, you're going to be right next to him. Rabbi Aaron says, you're right, you will be. He says, but I'm enjoying Olam Haza more than you are. Meaning what? Even though Irving Buter had all the money, he's saying, yeah, but I don't have to wait for the next world for all that Torah. I'm enjoying knowing all the Torah already right now here in this world. So he's saying, oh, who wants to wait for the next world? But how are those people going to sit amongst the Gedolim and Olam Haba? Chazal say they will get all their wisdom. And it's great because there's a story by Rabbi Aaron Kotler himself. When he was Rosh Yeshiva back in Europe, he sent a shir once to the whole yeshiva, an hour plus long shir, and he left off Tzarech Iyun Gadol. He left over the bomb question that even he, the Eloi, Rabbi Aaron Kotler, couldn't answer. He had such an amazing question on the sugya, on the Gemara, and he couldn't answer it. He left off Tzarech Iyun Gadol. The next day he comes back to the shir and he says, we're having another shir today. And he says, I want everybody to know that I went to sleep last night. It's a question how he went to sleep if he still had that kasha. I barely fell asleep, and that's there was a philanthropist who gave tons of money, who supported the yeshiva, who had just passed away a week before, and they just got up the family from sitting shiva. And now this gevir came to Rabbi Aaron Kotler in a dream, and he said, Rabbi Aaron, I have the answer to your question. And this gevir, this bala boss, told Rabbi Aaron Kotler, one of the Gedolei Hador, he told him the answer to his question in the dream. So Rabbi Aaron in the dream was in this fall. He says, I don't understand. He says, Yankel. He says, how did you get that answer? He says, they gave it to me in Gan Eden. He says, I knew they would say, he says, what are you surprised about? You always told me if I support the yeshiva, I'm going to get all the Torah that I support. I'm going to get, he says, I knew they would give it to you, but I didn't think they'd give it to you so fast. I didn't think they'd give it to you right away, right after Shiva. They already gave you a Kol Torah Kula. So Aaron was so astounded, he shared it with the yeshiva the next day. He says, this is the answer that he told me. And the Bochum said to Rebbe, what do we have to be in yeshiva for? Let's all go out to work. Well, let's all make money. Let's live a nice Olam Haza. And we'll live in bigger houses. We won't have to look and have our meals come from our hosts. Let's go out and we'll just make a nice living. And we'll support those few yechidim in yeshivas. What do we have to learn for? Robert said, I don't understand the question. Yes, he got it in the next world, but don't you want it in this world too? You want to miss out on Olam Haza? Don't you want to taste the beauty of Torah in this world? And that's Olam Haza. So if a person says they don't have the Lev Novan, they don't have the Ozen Chachamim, the Mefarshim explain and starts with the Meiri, one of the Rishonim. You know what else could work for you? Matanodim, give tzedakah to Tamina Chachamim, writes the Midrash Tanchuma, and Parshas Re'eh and Osir Ches. If you give the tzedakah to yeshivas, to kolim, to chadarim, to schools, you will acquire all that wisdom, it will broaden. Harchavas Hadas. We always find Harchavas Hadas. It'll broaden your base of knowledge, and it will give you all that wisdom in the next world. Lefnei Gedolim Yanchenu, you'll be able to sit in front of the greatest Chachamim. Yanchenu, you will Yarshin, you will get Olam Haba, you'll be able to sit in their company, and you'll know what they're talking about. Because you supported them here in this world. That's the Yisachar Zvulun relationship. That's broadening that access. And not only that, And Rabbi Yonah says it's not just for the next world, but it's even in this world. The idea of, if you go ahead and give, not only to Tamir Chachamim, but you give, and this is already here a makor, a precedent, according to Rabbi Yonah, of acquiring friends and politicians who can benefit the Jewish people. By sometimes, by bringing them into the breakfast, etc., you can go ahead and have them reciprocate accordingly and want to be beneficial towards the Jewish people. Atzadik harishon berivo, uvo re'iru v'chakara. Atzadik, we're switching topics now. Shlomo Melech continues. He says, Atzadik harishon berivo, when you have a grievance, when you have a machlokas, you have a conflict with somebody. Atzadik harishon berivo, what's going to happen? The first person who presents his case very often creates that first impression of being the tzadik. But what happens? Yavo re'ehu, uvo re'ehu, uvo, we read it, we have the ksiv is yavo, but the kri is uvo, uvo re'ehu v'chakaro, but then his friend comes along, he comes into the Torah v'chakaro, and he does the chakiris, and he interrogates him, meaning what? The Rishonim explain the Rabbag and others, and we have a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dav Zayin Amud Beis. A dai and a judge is not allowed to hear one side before the other. Why? Because the first person who presents a side, the first litigant who steps forward, and presents his or her side, it always creates an impression, and then the second person has to come along and undo that original impression, and then present his or her case. So that's why we need both litigants to be present at the same time. Tzadik harishon berivo. The first person who comes along, and his fight seems to be the tzadik, but then the friend comes along and then interrogates, and that's why you have to wait until both parties are here. Right to the Vilna Gaon. What are we talking about? We're not switching a chokhma, all of a sudden then we go into judging. What are we talking about? We're talking about now. We already said how important it is to acquire wisdom. How you gotta go after wisdom. You gotta digest the wisdom, Leib Novin. If you don't have that, listen for Chokhma. If you don't know that, give to Chokhma and try and absorb and hang around them and get some of their wisdom. And now, what do we need the wisdom for? What fight are we talking about? We're not stop talking about a Din Tyra. What's that doing in the middle of Parakid Chesem Mishlei? Right to the Vilna Gaon, we're talking about the battle of life. What's the battle of life? The battle against the Yetzara. Explains to Ephraim Waxman, based on a number of Mepharshim, which is Seitzei L'Mochama Alei Vecha. Ki Seitzei L'Mochama Alei Vecha is what? Is a mandate to Klal Yisrael. When you go out to do battle, the Chassidus Sfarim all explain, what is this reference to? Going out to battle to wage war against the Yetzirah. If we would focus our energies, instead of fighting one another, on fighting the Yetzirah, explain to our fine watchmen, you know why so many people do Averis? You know why so many people do sins? Because we're spending and expending so much effort, energy, and resources and fighting one another and getting to so many other machlekes in that we don't have enough energy left over to fight the Yetzirah. If we would go ahead, Kesetz in the Muhammad, if we would recognize the only Muhammad in the world that makes sense is to fight the Yetzirah. Don't fight with your friend. Don't fight Hasidim, Misnagdim, Ashkenazim, Sfardim, etc. Mizrahi, Datilu, Migan, Haredi. In the end of the day, we're all one people. We're all Gayecha, Baaret. If we wouldn't expend any energy and any effort in fighting one another, and we would focus and channel every ounce of our energy to just fighting one Muhammad that we all share, which is destroying our enemy, the number one enemy is the Yetzirah, then we would be successful. And that's the real fight in life. So what happens, right, to the Vilna Gaon? We have a Gemara in Sanhedrin, and it's chapter 16 in Avos Rabbi Nosson. Hayetzahara barishim beisivado. When do you get a Yetzahara, and when do you get a Yetzar Tov? Chazal revealed to us. Your Yetzahara comes right at the beginning when you're born. When your neshama comes into the world, right away you get a Yetzahara. And you think you can have everything. Why do babies, children, they always want the candy and they want the ice cream? It's all about me, me, me. Because they have a Yetzer. They have a Yetzer Tov only based on the chinuch that they got from the parents and the information that you put into them. But the Yetzer Tov doesn't come, Chazal say, until you're 13 years old. That's why they're not held accountable until they get to the age of 13 and 12 respectively. Halacha Mishmasina, you get to Bar Bas Mitzvah at 13 and 12. Until that age, you're not a Bar Onshin. Why? Because you only have one of the litigants present. You don't have the Yetzer Tov. So it's not a fair battle, and that's why young children, it's all about them. They always want everything. Except what? If you train them at a young age and you give them the proper chinuch, then you're
giving them the right outlook, the right perspective. But the real Yitzhar Tov doesn't come until you're 13 years old. Therefore, the Vilna Gaon says, what's this pasuk reference to? To the battle of life. Battle of life that demands you have to use your seichel, your intellect, your chokhmah. Tzadik harishim rivo uvarei v'achakaro. Who's the first one to come along and say, I'm the tzadik, the Yitzhara? The Yitzhara comes along in your life, right when you're born, and he says, I'm the right one, do what I say. Vilna Gaon says, tell him to wait. Then his friend is going to come. Who's his friend? Who's his Reya? The Yitzhar Tov is going to come. V'chakaro, he'll show you, he'll do the interrogation and show you all the places where he's wrong. One Hasidish Rebbe once says to some, when he got to the age of our mitzvah, he says, my dear Shimon, he says, Shimon, how'd you fight the Yitzhar all these years? He said, I told my Yitzhar when I was a kid that I'd love to listen to you. You're very tempting. You're very seductive. I'd love to listen to you. The problem is I have to go with Halacha. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that you're not allowed to listen to one of the litigants until they're both there presenting the case of the same song. So he says, I always tell my Yitzhar, you know what? I'll listen to you. But first I got to wait until the Yitzhar Tov comes. When he comes, I'll let you guys battle it out and then I'll make the decision. He says, the Yitzhar couldn't wait for me. So he just left me alone. At the end of the day, that's the way to fight it is. You got a Yitzhar Tov against Yitzhar Hara. So, the first one to come is the Yitzhar Hara. And then, the Yitzhar Tov comes, he does the interrogation, and he shows you all the places where the Yitzhar Hara was wrong. So now you'll ask the obvious question, Rabbi, that's not fair. A 13, 12 year head start, that's not, why would God do it this way? I thought it's supposed to be a 50-50, right? All the media presenter, you got the little angel on the right shoulder, a little angel right, the little devil with the pitchfork on the left shoulder, the angel with the halo. What do you mean? It's a 50-50. Rings it with the Olam Yergas. Isn't it 50-50? Listen to a Gemara in Sukkah, not to know. And Amos Shapiro explains this Gemara, fascinating approach. The Gemara says, "V'chol yom v'yom yitzar shalot emeskabalov." Every day the yitzar is fighting. There's no such thing as I got the yitzar, it's over and done with. That's it. You can have it. Same way with dieting. There's no such thing as a diet. That's it. I got it. I got down the 50, 60. Oh, now it's all forever. The rest of your life, you got to fight it. You got to always work on it. Yitzar is fighting every day of your life. V'chol yom v'yom yitzar shalot emeskabalov. The Gemara Chazal tell us, without Hashem's help, without Siyata Deshmayo, it's not that it's hard, it's lo yochol, it's efshar. The Gemara says explicitly, it is impossible to beat the Yitzhara without God's divine assistance. Why? Right, so Moshe explains to Moshe Shapiro. He says, God made this world that I'm giving the Yitzhara a head start. Why? Because I gave you the Yitzhara, told me the Yitzhara at the same time. You'd say, it's a 50-50 battle. You know what? I don't need God. I don't need God. I got a good angel, a bad angel. I got my own seicha, my own bechira chavshus. Sometimes I'll choose right. I might make some mistakes and then I'll do tshuva. But it's a 50-50. You know, I can win this. I don't need God. So God says what? The same way, why does God give everybody a pekel? Why does everyone have something in their life, pekelach? You know, somebody was once serving Rav Elyahu Shvei, the Roshiva from Philadelphia. And they got back from a trip to Eretz Yisrael. And they were waiting in the airport in JFK. And the baggage, their luggage was coming onto the belt, and the Talmud turns to Rav Yishvei and says, Rabbi, Rosh Yeshiva, you stay on the side, and I'll get your luggage for you. And Rosh Yeshiva said, no, it's okay. He says, I'll get my own suitcase. He says, no, Rosh Yeshiva, no, I want to get it for you. He says, everyone has his own pekel. Everybody's got a pekel. Chaim Kanevsky says, and I know he has said this to many people, people say, he says, everyone has Yisurin and Yisyonos HaChaim. If you think you're going to run away or escape one mode, one level of Yisurin, Hashem's going to send it to you in another way. Everybody has some Yisurin, a pekelach. Everyone has something in life. And there's no way to escape it. Why? Why would Hashem give everybody needs? Yevamah 64a, why did he make the Tzidkanius the most barren and fertile for so many years? Because if we had everything we needed, we what? We'd gradually forget about God. We'd stop turning to God. We'd stop davening. And that's what happens. Vayishman Yeshurin Vayivat. When do we kick God, figuratively speaking? When we get so fat, we have all the money and all the wealth and all the riches, we forget about God. That's what happened. So God creates deficiencies, and there's things that we're lacking, so that we always know we have to turn to Hashem, knowing that Hashem is carrying us every step of the way. Why? Hashem doesn't want us to suffer. He doesn't want us, but He wants us to get to Shlemus, and we can't get to Shlemus without Him. And He always has something in our lives that's missing, so that we always rely on Him, so that He'll always fill that void to say we need to go through life with Hashem Yisbarach. That's the idea explained to Rosh Shapiro. Hashem says, I'm giving the Yitzhar a head start. Why? Because I want you to know the Yitzhar is... He's got a big head start on the Yetzer Hara. Don't think you could win this war by yourself. You can't emerge the victor on your own. You need Hashem Yisbarach. And that's what Chazal are revealing to us. B'chol yom, every day He's trying to get you. Without Siyata Dishmaya, it is impossible, you cannot conquer it. Why? Because you need Hashem in the picture. That's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants the relationship. Hashem wants you to bring Him into the picture, and together you will fight a Yetzer Hara. That is what the Ratzon Hashem is all about. In addition, writes Rabbi Israel Miller in his book, What's Wrong with Being Human, the Gemara says in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, and Pogam B'chol Menuvel B'derech, if you meet the disgusting one, the Yetzer Hara, on the path, Mashchil the base marsh, bring him into the base marsh. So of course, the Mefarshim asked the Kasha, bring him into the base marsh. What do you mean, bro? You tell him wait outside, and you go into the base marsh. What do you mean, bring him into the base marsh? In fact, the Alter Slobodka once saw Rabbi Yitzchak Kutner in Slobodka in Europe learning on his own. So he says to him, he says, where's your chavrusa? He says, what do you mean, Rabbi? I got the best chavrusa. He says, where? I don't see any chavrusa. He says, what do you mean? He says, my chavrusa, he always comes here before I get here. He always stays after I leave. He never misses a day. He never calls in sick. He's never late. He's here. He never stops paying attention to me for 1 second. Who's that chavrusa? He says, the Yetzer Hara. He is with me every second of the day. Hadi Yetzer Hara. What do you mean bring it to the Yitzhar? You know why? Because Hashem says, Barasi Yitzhar, Barasi the Tov, and I don't want you to destroy the Yitzhar. Yitzhar is a good thing. He needs Tov Ma'od, writes the Medrash. Tov is the Yitzhar, is the Yitzhar Tov. Tov Ma'od is the Yitzhar. Why? Because you can do big things with the Yitzhar. If you learn the Torah, you know how to channel those kochos. A person says, Gaiva. We all have Gaiva, but what? Use the Gaiva to become great in learning, to become the biggest tzaddikas that you could be. A person says they want the money. Say I want money. There's nothing ashkafically wrong. Rav Yitzchak Prokhorovitz says, and saying I want a lot of money. I want a lot of money so I could buy nicest jewelry. That's a problem. If I want a lot of money so I could give the most money to Stockholm, then that's a great thing. It's a question of what do you want to use it for. But Hashem says, imagine if Jews didn't have a Yitzhar to make money, what would it be with the yeshivas and all the school system? Idea is, Hashem says, I want you to have a Yitzhar, but what? What do you do with it? Torah channels and redirects it, adds the spice to give it direction where you want it to take it, so you need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now that we're on the subject of conflicts, what's the best way to resolve a conflict? Continue Shlomo Mejonim, quarrels and conflicts, Yashbis Agoro. Yashbis, Loshen Shabbos, what puts it to rest? The Goral, by casting lots. Ovein Atzumim Yafrit, as Rashi says, Atzumim, the strong ones, the mighty ones, Bali Dinim, when you have a fight with somebody else. What causes the contentious ones to separate, to move apart? Having a Goral, which means what? Anytime you have a fight, we're talking about fights, the best thing is, take the fight outside of you. Leave it up to a lot. What lot? What does that mean? Have it decided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Cast lots. What should we do? Cast lots and leave it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if it's not the Goral HaGro, or writes the Meiri, it doesn't mean it has to be an actual physical lot. It means leave it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ezu Asher Semech Bechelko. Be happy with your lot. Writes the Meiri, if you're happy with your lot, you're not going to get into a Machlekes. If Hashem wants me to have it, I'm going to have it. And if I'm not supposed to have it, I'm not supposed to have it. But the idea is, again, you're in a Machlekes, leave it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's part of the idea, like the Vilna Gaon as well. If you're with a fight with the Yetzer Hara, let Hashem come into the picture. Let Hashem help you out. Learn His Torah. Do His mitzvahs, and that'll be the ability that you will be endowed with to fight off and fend off the Yetzer Hara. Or if two chaverim are in a fight, you want to put the quarrel to rest? Hagorah, cast lots, take it outside. You meaning what? Give it up to a third party. Give it up to a Rav, give it up to a neutral party. A Hasidus Rebbe once told me, he says he has about 300 young families under a Hasidus Rebbe, small Rebbe, in Eretz Yisrael. He's a descendant of the Nadvorna dynasty. Rav Moshe Meir Leifer, he told me he has about 200, 300 couples, families under his. He says they never have fights. Why? Because the inmate makes up with them when he marries them off. Anytime you have a shayla, a bias, a discussion, a conflict, you come to me, And now the das hashlishi amachri b'neim. You'll never go to sleep angry. Husband says this, the wife says that. You'll come to me and I'll make the decision for you. He says, let them hate my guts. Let them not like me rather than dislike one another. Because what? She's going to be upset. Oh, why did the rabbi take your side? He's going to be upset. Why did the rabbi take your side? I always joke, you know, when I got married, I told my wife, that's it, we're going to have a rabbi. My rabbi is with Berkowitz. And I figured I have a head start. I have a head start. So he's always going to vote in my favor. I think she's up 60-40 over the last 21 years. I, for some reason, he takes her side more often than he takes my side. But in the end of the day, you never have a machlaikas. Why? Because you leave it up to a rough, to a third party or a therapist, whatever it is, you bring it outside you, and that person's out, so you don't like that person. I remember hearing a story when I was going for a counseling degree by the Rafu Institute in Ertzisrael years ago. As soon as the Rebbe got up, he did side work as a chaplain in various old age homes and retirement homes. And he says one time he came into a home, and there was a Jewish woman whose name was Rose, and all the doctors, all the nurses, the attending, Rose, she never spoke nicely to anybody. She was always bitter and very mean. And nobody can make sense. Nobody could get friendly with Rose. They couldn't break through. So finally he says, I'm going to break through. And he goes to Rose. Rose, how can I help you? And she ignores him. And she says, I'm not interested. Rabbi, I'm not interested. Okay, nobody can break through. Finally he comes up with a chum. Says, what's wrong? He does some research and he finds out that Rose was a matriarch of her family for years. Now, if you're a matriarch of your family, and now you have to be in this old age home, retirement home, whatever the case was, and she didn't have family coming and visiting regularly, here was this matriarch, and she lost a lot of her friends. So here, everyone was coming and pitying her, and coming to give her advice, and coming to help her out, and she spent her whole life giving advice and helping everybody else out. And he chopped, that's what she needs to do. One day he comes in, says, Rose, I need your help. I'm having some shalom bias problems. You got to help me out. Says, Rabbi, yeah, well, I got my wife and this. We have this conflict. Rose, I need some advice from such a smart woman. So Rose says, okay, Rabbi, you should do this and that. So that comes in the next day. Rose, I got this problem. I got this argument with my wife. You got to help me. And he's making up all these different arguments. And Rose is all of a sudden, she's starting to open up. And then he comes in a week later and says, Rose, you helped me so much with my wife. My kids are failing out of school. They're not doing well in the report cards. What should I do? Well, this one has this problem. This one has, oh, yeah, so Rabbi, you got to do this and you should start making this change in your life, and this and the boys and the girls and do this. And then he comes and he says, oh, Rose, and my finances. And every week he's making up new problems, and all of a sudden Rose is opening up, and now she's the talk of the town, and now she's going out into the lobby, into the halls, and she's screaming. She's a different person. The doctors come over, the nurses, oh, Rabbi, what did you do? And he says, at the end of the day, you know, Rose is a different person. Well, Rabbi, we just want to know, is everything okay? Everything okay? He says, what do you mean? He says, Rose tells us that this Rabbi, he has so many problems. His whole life is falling apart. Rabbi, is everything okay? He says, he was willing to take that embarrassment as long as Rose is doing all right. As long as you have that third party, let the people not like the third party, but at least like one another, bring it outside you. Leave it to Allah, leave it to someone, trust that's Yad HaShemayim, that Hashem will lead another person to bring about a resolution, and that'll save people in points of conflict. Now in the points of conflict, and the final pasuk we close today, Ach nivsha mikir yas'oz, umejonim kibriach armo. A wronged brother, an ach nivsha, feels that he was wronged, slighted, but he's a brother. He is stronger. He's better to have the mitzvahs davened on the first mitzvah. Explain. Mir kiyasos in a strong, solid, fortified city. Umejonim, even though they have fights, umejonim they quarrel, as we just saw at the beginning of pasuk Yerches. Kabriach arma, but he will always be there like a bolt on a palace door. A bolt on a palace door, writes mitzvahs davened, and make sure that the two sides of the door stay locked together. What is an ach? Writes the Maral. Why do we call brothers and sisters ach and achot? Ach and achot share the shoresh echad. Echad is one. Ach and achot come from the same shoresh. Ach is ichoy. Ichoy, if you have a rip in a garment and you want to stitch, sew together a rip, in Hebrew that's called ichoy hakera. You stitch together the sides. What's ichoy? Ichoy is, I take two things that are separate, I stitch them, I lock them together, and now they appear as one. Why is it called ichoy? Maral says, shoresh aleph ches, echad. Because you're taking two things that are shnayim, and you're making them one, you're making them echad. So to a brother, a sister, you're echad, because you come from the same blood. You have that filial connection, that family bond that stays together. Siblings always have to stay together, and even if you wronged a sibling, that's the chokhmah of Shlomo Melech. You can wrong a sibling, you can have a fight, but in the end of the day, just know that a sibling might always be there for you, even more than the strongest of cities That sibling in a time of need will always be there for you, though they're going to be in a fight, kebriach armon, but in the end of the day, they will be that briach, they will always be there for support, if and when you need it. So never lose the value of siblings, of family ties, because when all hope seems to be lost, family will always be there for family, and the face of any type of riv, of any type of quarrel, family will always be there for support. We should be zoichem et Hashem to have a lev navon, to have an ozen chachamim, to have the schus to be mekayim amatan odim as well, and to know that we need our Kodesh Baruch Hu to fight our real fight of the Yitzhara, and emet Hashem to end all pekalach and all yisurin, and to bring about an ichoy, an echad, a stitching together of all the segments in Klal Yisrael, and correct the sin of Sinim, and bring about Mashiach Tzidkenu. Have an amazing day and a great week.
Why Hashem only gave us the Yetzirah at the beginning though? Is that fair? A young boy is supposed to be strong enough to do it?
And the point is that